going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Off top, Porzingis. Tough pass, but he followed his own. And a foul, Porzingis with the hammer and a chance at a three-point play. Under three to go, Tatum, jump shot, good. Jason Tatum, vintage. The Boston Celtics, the defending champs, come back with some bite. And they win on the road. And they go up 3-1 in this best of seven, closing the game on a 16-7 run.
Jones and Keith, high noon, WEEI. We'll get back to the Celtics. We started the show with the Seas. They're up 3-1 on Orlando. We just mixed in a bunch of football thoughts in the last hour. You can seek those out on the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. You want to talk Patriots draft? You can. 617-779-7937. The weird Bill Belichick interview, Shedeur Sanders and his slide, Mel Kiper.
What a weekend, huh?
Breaking down on national TV. It was quite a weekend out there. So you can still jump in on all that again at 617-779-7937. But let's talk Celtics. They are up 3-1, Keith.
Yes.
I think they're done with the Orlando Magic. They're ready to get the Magic out of their face. And I don't blame them because this has been an annoying series. Despite the win yesterday, despite their 3-1 lead, it's been an annoying series for the Celtics. And as I started the show saying, they're going to win this series. They might still be the favorites to win the championship neck and neck with OKC, who I also wasn't overly impressed with in round one, but I'm just a little underwhelmed by how the Celtics have played in this series. And you could say it's a matchup thing. You could say it's some injuries that they've dealt with. Mm-hmm. You can say and explain it away however you want, but I expected the series to be over by now. I didn't think Orlando would get a game, and I've just been a little underwhelmed with the Celtics.
Yeah, I have too. Like I thought it was going to be a sweep, and it's not. Now I fully expect them to win tomorrow and win in five and, you know, move on to probably play the Knicks in the second round. I think a couple things, though, have jumped out. One, the Magic have been able to play their style of basketball like more than I thought they would. I thought the Celtics were just going to kind of overwhelm them a little bit, hit all their threes, and then play good defense against a team that's not very good on offense anyway. And I thought there'd be more kind of lopsided games. I mean, you go through it. First game, Celtics trailing at the half. They had to sort of claw their way to a victory. They ended up kind of, you know, covering the spread and everything by the end of the game. Game two, you don't have Jason Tatum, so that's already a storyline. You lose game three where you don't break 100 points. And then even yesterday, kind of touch and go there, tied at 91 late in the game. You've also played two games without Drew Holiday. So everybody on the team seemingly is dealing with some sort of an injury. They are definitely getting frustrated with some of the hard fouls, I'll call, or playoff fouls, I'll call them. You know, some fans choose to think that it's worse than that.
It's football. Kind
of, yeah, I just think it's what the Magic have to do to make it somewhat competitive. And credit to them. I thought it would be, you know, maybe a close game, three blowouts, and on to the next round. And they've been there. They've hung around in some of these games. These games haven't been super lopsided at all. So I have to give more credit to the Magic, I guess, than I certainly did going into the series.
Well, maybe the way to say it, Bill had a worse weekend. Kiper had a worse weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think the Celtics had a great weekend. They dropped a game against Orlando. Yesterday was tied with 4 minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not taking away the win for the Celtics or anything. But when I say underwhelmed, I think that's the right way to phrase it. That's what I'm talking about. I didn't expect, with under five to go in game four, for the Magic to be hanging around in a game like that. Like, I didn't expect that. The Celtics are going to win this series. I'm not worried about them losing the series. I'm not trying to turn this into the Celtics could lose to Orlando or anything like that. I just thought the Celtics would already be done with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still hanging around. They still have all their nonsense. They are clearly agitating, bothering the Celtics. If you want to go farther and say rattling their cages in their heads, I don't think that's unfair to say.
Right.
The Magic are under their skin, as you put it earlier. And so I bet the Celtics wish they're done with them at this point in time. And now you got to deal with them and all their antics and all their crap for another game. Like, I'm ready to get the Magic out of their faces. I'm sure the Celtics are too.
Well, it's funny because last year, obviously, the Celtics did not have a murderer's row getting to the NBA Finals, and even in the NBA Finals. And part of it was due to injury or whatever. But if you go back, the series against the Pacers, right, which they just wins-losses-wise, they dominated that series.
Yeah, it was 4-0.
But there were some close, tough games, even without Halliburton in there. And you're like, all right, so maybe it's a little bit of that. Like, these teams giving them all that they have. And in the case of the Celtics, them doing enough to win, even they're not getting any kind of style points or anything, but they're at least still winning the game.
So I think that Pacers series was good for them last year, in all honesty.
I think so,
with the benefit of hindsight, and we talked about this earlier in the show, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, 08, it might have been good that they had to deal with dragged out series against the Hawks and eventually the Cavs. Like, that might have been good for them. It didn't feel that way in real time, but it might have been. I think the Pacers series in retrospect was a good thing for them. They got pushed.
Yeah.
You know, Jaylen hit a massive shot to force overtime in one of those games. Tatum took over in an overtime early in one of those games. Like, they got pushed a little bit and they dug deep. And even though it was a sweep and there was no Halliburton and the Pacers were overmatched, I think that was probably a good thing for the Celtics. Jrue Holiday stole a game in that series.
Yeah, they won two games by three and a game by five.
Do you think this could wind up being the same? If you want to go glass half full, do you think this could wind up, as annoying as it is, it could be a bit of a wake-up call and, you know, a way for the Celtics to get some of this stuff out of the way early, play through it, beat the Magic in five, and they'll be better off for it? Is that possible?
It's possible. Like, you know, you can't take anybody lightly, but I also feel like as the series go on, it's impossible to do that, right? Like, so you're already in the playoffs, so that's sort of a different level. And then next round, probably the Knicks. The round after that, probably the Cavs. I don't think there's any way you can go into it and think, all right, it's the Orlando Magic who have 1.5 good players. Right? Like, so that's kind of what you're – I think it's hard to kind of
– I'm now giving them 2 players and 2 half players.
Yeah.
I'm now giving them that.
Wagner's better than
Wagner
like
and Mancaro are good.
Wagner's pretty good.
And Anthony Black and Wendell Carter.
Anthony Black's not half a player.
Half players.
Not yet.
Those are half players.
All right, if you want to give them a half player,
the sum total of the Magic's roster is now 3 players.
No, but I think one also benefit from yesterday, for example, is they win a game where, as a team, they shoot under 30% from three.
They were,
which is usually a death blow. I think the numbers, what is it, 32 or 33, where the number really changes wins and losses. Terp will be in on Wednesday. We can ask him. He probably knows off the top of his head.
Long tease.
But there's like a big discrepancy there. And so they only made 9 threes in the game and they won. So at least like finding other ways to win, I guess, is also a positive.
So, and you guys can jump in on this. You know, the Magic and their physicality, will the Celtics be better off for it? You know, are other teams going to take notes on the Magic and their physicality? I said this last week. The Magic may be giving a blueprint to... And I don't know that teams can take advantage of it because I dismissed this going into the playoffs, the specific matchup with Orlando. Joe Mazzulla, one of the few teams he has a losing record against, they've kind of struggled with them for the last few years. I dismissed it. I was wrong. Like, the Magic are a bit of a matchup problem for Boston, I think. Not that they're not going to win the series, but it's tougher than I expected. And we spent last week talking about the physicality. Tatum getting thrown to the ground, busting up his wrist, and Mazzulla yelling at him to get up and all these things. You know, Orlando, will they be a blueprint for other teams to rattle their cage, agitate, get under their skin? Maybe. I think there's a stylistic thing, too, with Orlando. And I don't know that New York specifically is equipped to take advantage of this, but Cleveland might be. OKC might be. Orlando doesn't let them shoot threes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't let them attempt them. The Celtics only made 9, to your point last night, Keith. They only attempted 31, which is a wildly low number for them. Same thing in Game 3. They made 9 threes. In game 3, and they couldn't score for a whole quarter. They only scored 11 points in the third quarter. They attempted 27. So,
yeah.
I mean, there are some nights where they shoot. mid-50s threes. They get close to 63-point attempts in a game.
Oh, they average 48. Over 48 is their average.
The last two games, it's been 27 and 31.
Yeah.
So can teams take notes on that? Because the Celtics on offense are frustrated. They're not playing the way they want to. And I think that leads to turnovers. I think that leads to some empty possessions. And maybe this is just something Orlando can do specifically, because I think Stan Van Gundy's done a great job highlighting this on TNT. They can switch everything. They're very active man-to-man. They are not going to double anybody. They're not going to leave open shooters. They're just not going to do it. They'd rather give up a two than wide open threes, regardless of who's shooting them. So maybe the Magic are specifically equipped to do this. I wonder if other teams are going to take note and just don't double, don't give the Celtics open looks, and that's going to limit their three-point attempts, and that's going to frustrate them on offense, because they're frustrated right now on offense.
Yeah, they are. I just think that it's a hard thing to then all of a sudden start to do if you're the opponent. So say you're the Knicks, and you're saying, well, this works for the Magic.
I don't think they're capable of doing it.
They're probably not. Maybe the Pistons are a little bit better.
You think Cleveland is?
I think Cleveland could, yeah, and I think Cleveland.
You think OKC can?
Well, OKC might not have to.
OKC already, that's a fair point. OKC already bothers them enough.
OKC, I think, can do a little bit of both, where like their talent matches. You're not going to be able to out-talent the Celtics unless you're the Thunder. And the Cavs, that might be what their thing, where they say, all right, listen, we can compete. Like, we have way more talent than Orlando. We have more talent. Well, actually, the Knicks do have talent. I always brush past the Knicks. They do have, I mean, Brunson and Towns.
The Knicks
had a really
have talent,
season.
But they are soft. They're finesse and offensive-minded. And
if those are your two guys, I feel like they're going to get into a series and they think, I don't know, we can outscore the Celtics. And it's like, well, then you're playing into their hands and then they're going to win. But yeah, maybe the Cavs. Maybe that would be the team to watch two rounds from now to see if they can kind of muck it up a little bit. But then also have enough skill so when the game is close, you're like, oh, wait a minute, they got a guy like Donovan Mitchell who can still kill you.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on whether or not the Celtics have been a little underwhelming. Is this series going to leave a mark? As we've asked a couple of different times today, I mean, if nothing else, Keith, the Magic and their physicality are taking some sort of physical toll on the Celtics. Holiday's out. Tatum missed a game, is dealing with a wrist injury. The closest thing I thought to a dirty play last night, and I wouldn't call it dirty, and he shouldn't have gotten a flagrant foul for it, but
no, it's kind of like strategic.
But I know what he was doing.
Yeah, right.
Was when Anthony Black chopped Tatum on the wrist. It's like, you know what you're doing. You're out there with the tape on.
Yep.
You're clearly dinged up.
Like, hands part of the ball, wrist part of the hands.
I know what you're doing. I wouldn't give him a flagrant foul or kick him out of the game or anything, but that bordered on dirty to me. Unlike the Wendell Carter foul on Derek White, where Horford lost his mind, or Tatum and KCP bumping into each other and getting matching texts, it's clearly going to leave some sort of physical toll on the Celtics. Porzingis, I think somewhat because of foul trouble last night, somewhat because of injuries he's dealing with, was in and out of the lineup. Brown already was hurt going into the playoffs. He dislocated a finger in game three. It's leaving some kind of physical toll on the Celtics, no?
Yeah, it is. But I think around the league, you're getting that. I think in a lot of series, you're getting guys, and hopefully...
Right, like Butler got knocked out in the Golden State series.
Yeah. I mean, Lillard's out for the year now. Fair, and who knows fair point. Lillard. I feel like guys are playing pretty physical around the league, which is what you kind of expect in the NBA playoffs. But I also go back to, too, like when the games do get chippy or when a team goes on a little bit of a run, you do miss Drew Holiday. Like, even though obviously the rest of their roster is a championship-winning team, Drew Holiday was such a big part of last year and sort of giving everybody the confidence that in those moments, like, they're going to kind of break through. And not having him, and I know you're like, wow, it's only 10, 12 points, 5 or 6 assists, good defense, but it's more than that. Like, he is still, like, having, you know, kind of a coach on the floor type of thing. And so, I don't know, I think they played better in the two games with him than they have the two games without him.
Well, I agree. You know? And Holiday, as you said, I mean, clearly we were waiting for him to flip a switch in the postseason, and he did those first two games. So they miss him, there's no doubt. But, okay, the Orlando Magic, I mean, on some level, that physical style of play,
I don't think
they took him out like people thought they took out Tatum or anything like that. But could that leave a mark long term? Christy in the Twitch chat, underwhelming. I thought they were up 3-1. No, they are. But I didn't say disappointing. I didn't say they failed. I didn't say they're going to lose the series. I said I'm a little underwhelmed by how they've played. And you tell me if this is fair or unfair. I was underwhelmed by OKC. They were down 29 in one of those games to Memphis. They only won the final game, I think, by two. So
they won the first game by like 100 points.
They blew
and then
out.
After that,
I'm a little underwhelmed by OKC, and they swept.
No, that's fine.
Like, you're the one seed. And you're a championship favorite. You shouldn't be slumming around with these teams.
Messing around with the Magic?
Yeah, same thing with the Celtics. So I don't think I'm inconsistent on that. If you do, fine. You're not alone. Text line, this is a good one, Keith, 617-779-7937. Can Jones stop being a complete a-hole every time he opens his mouth?
Finally, somebody
said
it.
I mean, that's not likely.
Finally.
Not talking about this.
He's a hateful bitch looking to stir crap up.
Who wrote that?
That was a text line.
Oh, text line.
Nasty.
Anonymous.
That was Kat texted me.
That was.
So there's that. There's also this. The Celtics are rolling, all caps on the text line. Stop with this nonsense. Are they rolling?
I wouldn't call that rolling. They lost game three.
They lost game three, and they were tied with the Magic with 4 minutes to go last
night.
No. They're rolling?
I'm not sure you can say that they're rolling.
That's not how I would phrase it.
No. If you want to say like the Thunder or the Cavs are rolling, you know, teams that haven't lost yet, those teams are rolling. Everybody else is lost.
I don't think the Thunder are rolling, but I wouldn't even say that about the Thunder.
No, I know you wouldn't, but I mean, they did go 4-0 against Memphis.
Issue with the Celtics next round is going to be ball movement. JT and JB are forcing too much. Thought they played selfish. I think they ran into some turnover problems in game three. The Celtics are, their ball movement
is. You talk about ball movement? You're talking about the movement of the ball.
Thank you, Glenn.
Sure.
So I do think their ball movement struggled in these last couple of games. Because, again, the Magic are running. They're used to getting wide open threes. They're used to getting doubled in wide open threes. And when I talk about them being frustrated, I would more use that word than Tatum and Brown are playing selfish. I think they look frustrated. They're used to getting easier looks than they're getting.
Now, I wonder, does Joe Mazzulla change anything for Game 5? Like, is Game 5 going to be another game where...
So what?
Like, I don't know.
Like a roster? Like rotational shuffle?
No. Like more like...
Well, he did make a good adjustment last night. Van Gundy highlighted this. They had Porzingis as opposed to like the high post and the elbow. They had him going to the rim a lot more, which was an adjustment that I think worked and I think Mazzulla deserves credit for.
But because they did. They looked like a different type of team style-wise because we're so used to them shooting, like you said, 50, 60 threes in a game.
Yeah.
That number's cut in half. The other thing that jumps out, like, so I don't know if he just does things like runs... things to find a way to take more threes, like go back to that style, or because they're taking them away, you have to score in another way. Another thing that doesn't get brought up a ton is, do you know in the regular season where they ranked free throw attempts per game?
The Celtics?
Yeah.
I would imagine low, since shot so many threes. They were dead last. Okay.
They had 32 free throw attempts yesterday, or whatever it was, right?
Yeah,
they had a ton of free throws.
Yeah, they were 30 out of 32.
So, like, that's...
And yet the refs aren't—they're
not normally getting
the refs aren't doing their job, and they hate the Celtics because they're letting the Magic get away with murder.
So on the one hand, like they—you
can't call every foul, Jones.
That's true.
No, that's true. Although a couple games, it was a game two, they kind of did. Like they were just like constantly. So they've taken a lot of free throws. So like they're playing a little out of character, and maybe that's the reason why it just doesn't look as good as it has.
Well,
because like, this isn't normally them, and they're sort of winning a different way.
And look, if you want to go glass half full and tell me they're better off for it. You might be right. They might benefit from a series like this. So they don't just get to coast, and they don't get tested at all, and they think they can just do whatever they want and float through the first round. This could long-term be a good thing for them. You might be right. Yeah. But they're going through a little bit of adversity right now, more than I personally expected in this series. So the Celtics are up 3-1. Doesn't necessarily feel that way. You can jump in, 617-779-7937, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. Let's get back into Jason Tatum and Joe Mazzulla. Keith, you said earlier Joe should be
hot seat.
A little worried about the job security because I don't think Tatum's very happy with it.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You know, just get up. Ain't that what Joe told me? Get up, move on to the next play, protect yourself, and just focus on the game.
So, Keith, you think Joe Mazzulla hot seat check getting a little warm?
I would say so.
Because of what Tatum had to say.
Yes. So when he first did it, we all raised an eyebrow. We're going back to Jason Tatum on the ground, the head coach screaming, get up. So I know a lot of you watching the game were screaming, get up. People in the stands were screaming, get up. That's a much different relationship.
I was in the building game one being like, he's fine. Get your ass up.
How many NBA players, or even taking any sport really, but NBA players specifically, roll around on the floor, maybe ham up their injury a little bit more than they should?
Most of them. Good
amount.
Yeah.
How many of their head coaches scream at them to get up and hold the trainer back from going out?
Zero.
One,
your coach.
His name's Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, he's the head coach of the Boston Celtics, for now.
The quickest way to be removed as head coach of an NBA team is to piss off your best player.
Now, don't misconstrue this. I liked Joe yelling at him.
Might have been right to do it.
He was.
However,
I agree with Joe yelling
in that
at him.
Role,
however, would you rather be right or would you rather have your job long term?
Probably keep the job.
Yeah.
Really keep the job. You know in the back of your mind you're right.
Right.
You know what you were screaming behind those crazy eyes of yours when you were screaming was get up. But he actually did that out loud.
Right.
And now you're like, you know what? Maybe we're making too big a deal. Like late last week. I don't know. Maybe we're making too big a deal out of it.
No, he was just yelling at him to get up.
Yeah.
Because he was hoping he was okay.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that.
No, get up. Isn't that what Joe told me?
Maybe send the trainer then.
Meanwhile.
Because these might have gotten lost in the shuffle. If it wasn't for us, the work that we're doing, this might have gotten lost in the shuffle over a very busy weekend.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, not everybody wants to talk about the Celtics. I get that. But, sure. You know, it's something we're choosing to highlight in the middle of the playoffs. So let me hear a little, because Tatum was not done.
Tatum, this
is all from Friday night, if that was unclear. This Joe thing was in Tatum's head. He was asked about his wrist injury. Mm-hmm. He was asked about hitting the ground, all these things. He's the one bringing up Joe Mazzulla. He's the one referencing the video that went viral on social because maybe Tatum heard him or not in real time. Keith, you brought this up earlier.
It's possible.
He probably did, but maybe he didn't.
After the fact,
it's
though.
It's very, very, very clear Tatum saw it by now, was very aware of it. And if I'm reading between the lines, I think he's bothered by it. I would use this answer as the example.
You know, I wanted to get up. It was just a lot worse than, you know, Joe thought it was. But, you know, it's cool. We move on and just get ready for the next game.
Okay.
That's so cool.
He hasn't moved on. I mean, Tatum can say he's moved on all he wants. He's the one harping on it. And secondarily,
I like a good grudge. I know you do. So if he is perturbed by this,
JT's beefs.
Yeah. I think he's gonna hang on to this. And this is just one part of the relationship. As it goes on, if something else flares up, it's gonna be worse than what it should be. Right? Everybody has relationships, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a spouse, a loved one, a friend, whatever. Yeah, he's still holding on to something,
right?
So, like, if something happens that is really on the scale of 1 to 10, It's like a 3 if how severe it is.
Yeah.
But if you just got over like a 7, now that 3 is like a 5 or a 6, right? Kind of is a little bit bigger. So I'm just saying,
There's glass in the muffins. I'm holding on to that.
You're holding on to
like
that.
Like at some point, I got that in my back pocket whenever I need it.
In the NBA, best job security is having the star player want you.
Right.
That's it. And so right now, I don't know how he feels about it.
So again, it's like, oh, well, we move past it. It's cool. It sounds cool, and it sounds like you move past it.
Twice unprompted at the press conference.
And oh, yeah, it was a lot worse than Joe thought.
Yeah.
So to me,
it's worse than Joe thought.
That's like pretty direct at Joe Mazzulla. It may not mean he's going to get fired or he's on the hot seat, Keith, but he's not happy. Can we all agree he's not happy with what Joe did?
No.
And that it became a story?
Not only that, and I actually rejected this in real time, but now doesn't it breathe a little bit more life into the conspiracy that he didn't play in game 2? It was sort of like, hey, Joe, this was really bad. Oh. Like, you're screaming at me.
You want to go there now.
I think you have to circle back.
Joe, it was bad. You wanted me to get up? I'm going to sit out game 2.
Because we're like, oh, it's kind of bad that he's not playing.
You think there was some of that?
I'm sure it hurts. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it hurts like hell. But was he sort of like, hey, Joe, just to prove to you how bad that it hurts, like, I can't go tonight.
Yeah. Or, Joe, you don't think it's so bad? Why don't you go try to win without me?
Yeah.
You don't want to go that far?
No, they did, but
they
won the game.
No, they usually win without Tatum, FYI. They won the game. They're 9-2 this year without him. They win a lot without him, actually.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's definitely the fact. It might have, as the days go by and with as crazy as the weekend was with stuff going on all over the place, this definitely could have kind of been buried. But he brought it up twice unprompted, so it's definitely something.
It's a lot worse than Joe thought. We've moved past it. It's cool. He still was being asked about the wrist injury last night.
Yeah.
He did not invoke Joe Mazzulla last night after a win, but after a loss, he invoked Joe a couple of times. Interesting. 617-779-7937. Davis is in Sudbury. Go ahead, Davis.
Hey, guys. Just going back to the thought about the Celtics being a little underwhelming right now. I mean, I think, you know, the fact that they're up 3-1, they're winning in a different way, you know, they're grinding it out, is a really positive sign for the team. Like, I like the idea that even when they're not shooting a ton of threes, like, they're able to win. And it also seems like, you know, Joe is holding them to a pretty high standard of being able to adapt, being able to roll with the punches, you know, literally or figuratively, that the Magic are throwing. So, I don't know. I think it's a positive thing. And, you know, they're still probably going to win in 5 or 6, and I don't think you can be mad at that.
Okay, well, I'd be mad at 6.
5. They're going to win in 5. I think they're going to win in 5.
I'm already teetering on 5. I would be mad at 6. They should not. The Celtics shouldn't want to screw around with this team for 6 games.
I don't think you want to play with these
guys.
The
longer this goes, the more little random pot shots you get from KCP or little pot shots you get across the wrist of Anthony Black on Jason Tatum.
Yeah, Wendell Carter hip checks.
Wendell Carter barely touching Derek White, and he goes flying to the ground. No, like, you get more of that.
Even if it wasn't those guys, that, like, Drew Holiday's missed 2 games, Tatum's missed 1 out of a 4-game stretch. So, yeah, obviously you want as few games as possible. Do you know what the line is for tomorrow night? Home game 5?
Celtics by 10.
11.5. So, like, yeah, if this goes to a 6th game, something definitely went wrong.
So this is good. Text line 617-779-7937. Guys, did you not know Orlando was a very good defensive team before the series started? No, I knew that.
You know, they're good at defense. They're horrible at offense.
I just didn't think it would matter. I was wrong. I am saying I was wrong.
No, but this is what you've brought up. You're like, all right, this potentially could be a blueprint, but is it too late for teams to really change how they play? And do the Knicks, for example, have this type of game in them? Probably not.
I don't think the Knicks can do it. I think Cleveland might be able to.
Cleveland, maybe.
OKC, as you said earlier, may not have to, but I think they have the personnel to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I say do this, you don't double. You don't leave shooters open. It's okay if Tatum gets into the lane and hits a layup, or Brown gets into the lane and hits a short jumper, or Porzingis gets in there and he's throwing down dunks. And I thought that was a good adjustment by Mazzulla last night.
Yeah.
They're all 2s. We're not going to give the Celtics
20 twos and free throws. I'm like, what is this? Yeah, we're not, the 1980s Celtics?
We're not giving the Celtics wide open threes. We're not doing it. And we're not even going to let them shoot a high volume of threes, open or not. I think they only attempted 31 last night. It was 29, I believe, off the top of my head, the game prior. They've hit 9 threes in each of these last 2 games. Now, look, I like that the Celtics can win different ways. They're doing it against Orlando. Can they win different ways if a more talented team who can match them on the offensive end? Cleveland would be an example. I mean, the Knicks would be an example if they have the personnel to do this.
Right.
If a more talented team does this to them, can they win games that way? Maybe they can. I'm not saying they can't.
Right.
But I think that's a fair thing to question, because they're having more problems with Orlando than I expected.
It is funny, though, that sometimes it is a matchup, right? And, like, the Orlando Magic don't have the talent as some of the other teams left in the playoffs, but they've had good, tough games with the Celtics. Even I know Tatum didn't play in the regular season, but they did beat them twice in the regular season. Whereas like the Knicks, the Celtics destroy the Knicks. Yep. So like whatever version of the Knicks are out there, whatever version great of the Celtics are out there, yeah, they destroy them.
Yeah.
And so I would think that still happens in the playoffs as well.
So you look at the Celtics and the physicality of Orlando. Jaylen Brown, we don't need to play it, but Jaylen Brown after game three was like, I don't know, it feels more like a fight out there than anything else. He's like, if they want to fight, we got to fight.
Isn't that good? Isn't that what we kind of want in the playoffs?
Well,
like, not that you want it to be like final score 75-70, but like, I don't know, you want like a little bit more intensity, a little bit more physical play.
No, I definitely do. Yeah. And I don't think this has been... I know some Celtics fans are crying about it. We read a bunch of texts about this earlier. Oh, it's football. Oh, they're more worried about hurting the Celtics than winning. Things like this, which I don't think it's been that over the line of a. I mean, the Magic are physical with them for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many dirty plays there have been. Bataze was definitely a dirty elbow to the head on Porzingis. You know, split his dome wide open.
That was the highlight of the series for Porzingis.
It was.
He loved it.
And, you know, I would tell you a few possessions prior, Horford did the exact same thing to Wendell Carter. Yeah. He didn't split his head open and need five stitches.
Yeah, I like watching him bleed on the court.
But he elbowed him right in the face same way. So I don't think Orlando has been any more dirty than the Celtics. I don't really think much of what they've done is super borderline beyond the Bataze elbow, which offsets with Horford's elbow.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think they're physical and they're under the Celtics' skin is the way you put it earlier, Keith. They're agitating them, and again, I don't know that every team can take advantage of that, but if I'm future opponents of the Celtics, I'm watching that because they're in their heads. The cages are a little rattled.
Yeah. I just think they're playing differently than we're used to seeing. I mean, you watch 82 games where you're running up and down the court, you're scoring, what'd they average, 115, 120 points per game. In this series, it's much less than that. They're normally shooting 53s a game in this series. It's much less than that. So they've kind of had to grind it out a little bit more. They're at the free throw line a lot more. So Orlando's got them to play their style a little bit more. Now the Celtics are still so talented that even playing not their game and playing more Orlando's game, it hasn't really mattered, at least wins, losses wise.
Twitch chat, Kevin says, they're not that over the line dirty, Jones. When was the last time you've seen Horford get as fired up trying to go after guys? I think that's an example of Orlando being in their head. I don't think anything the Magic did was that bad. Again, Bataze splitting Porzingis' head open, no good.
Is it just Horford defending his teammates, or is it Horford being like actually surprised by how Orlando's playing?
I think it's more the first thing. Yeah, I think everybody, Tatum especially, they're all rattled. And they're all, you know, so upset and frustrated and getting sidetracked by stuff the Magic are doing. I think Horford probably is being a good teammate and stepping in there. But I would say that's more of an example of the Celtics reacting to Orlando than anything Orlando's really done. I don't think anything they've done is that great. The Wendell Carter thing that Horford lost his mind on last night was nothing.
But it also started after game one where he was like, oh, KCP was doing it all game. And you're like, what all game?
He barely,
like,
I mean, Tatum hit the deck hard in game one.
Yeah, but there are
and
fouls.
Landed on
there
his
are
wrist.
Shooting fouls. There are fouls every game.
But there was nothing extra there in that play or the Carter play last night. And Horford lost his mind on both.
Yeah,
I didn't even think when Horford and KCP collided in game two, it was that bad. I think Horford was seeking him out a little bit, quite frankly. I think he was looking for the contact so he could turn around and yell at him.
No, I know. And I brought this up before, but I cannot stand the flagrant foul review only to be like, yeah, that was normal foul. It's like, yeah, we all saw it as a normal foul. Can we please have our time back?
Well, that was ridiculous. It was ridiculous to even review that one last night. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Celtics. You're a little underwhelmed by where they're at. And is Tatum upset with Joe Mazzulla? Certainly sounded that way after game three. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's also get to the weekend that was for Jaren Duran. He's having big games at the plate. Outright steals of home plate.
Swiping home.
Which is about as exciting as it can get.
Yeah, it's great.
And he's also having incidents with fans in the stands in Cleveland. We have thoughts on all that next.
He's dancing around now. Third, look out.
He's 40 feet down the line. Oh, he's stealing home. Here he comes. Throw. Not in time. Jaren Duran steals home.
That was Jaren Duran. Quite a complex weekend for him in Cleveland. I'll tell you.
Stealing home.
Stealing home is awesome. And that's a straight steal of home.
Oh, yeah.
That is not what happened yesterday with Romy Gonzalez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or what Duran has done multiple times in his career, I think both last season.
Mm-hmm.
Like a double steal, guy takes off for second, throw goes down, you break for home.
Yeah.
This was a straight steal of home.
I still remember when Billy Hatcher did it back in the day.
Do you?
90s Red Sox, Billy Hatcher stole home.
I remember the Ellsbury one, and that clip was making the rounds the other day. I think Boston Sports Gordo put this out. It was 16 years to the day.
It's bizarre.
Where Durant had the straight steal of home, and J.D. Drew's reaction to that was incredible. He just stood there and was just like, whatever.
It might be the best play in baseball.
Okay, it might be. It's one of the more exciting plays, certainly in baseball. It might be one of the more exciting plays. The guy breaks for home.
I was going to say, like,
the pitcher's right there. The guy breaks for home.
Shortlist in baseball, I really like a absolute cannon arm from the outfield. So whether it's like a right fielder to third base or any outfielder home.
Abreu had a good one when we were at it the other day. It didn't mean anything, but he kept the guy from going home. Abreu had a bullet from
right field. I like one of those.
Yep.
Robbing a home run is great.
That's nice.
Pulling it out. Like, especially like Fenway has a bunch of spots you can do it. Some other stadiums like don't. And then some have like really good ones. So like robbing a home run, throwing a guy out from the outfield. Stealing home might be better than all of them.
I mean, I think
good stealing home.
I think stealing home would be at the top of the list in terms of just excitement level.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat that. And again, that's a straight steal. You know, some of the background on it is, I guess, the third base coach overheard they were going to go full windup. Durant's like, it's insulting. He just hit a triple, by the way.
Yeah.
Durant's like, it's insulting. He's going to give me a full windup here, and he's like, the second he did it, I went.
And it was super close too.
It was.
He slid right in, and it's like, I always thought, like, man, aren't you afraid you're going to get like hit in the head? Like when you're going full tilt boogie and you got a guy throwing 95 miles an hour, you don't know where it's going to go. It could be like low and inside, hits you right in the bean. So no, I'm not doing that.
So unbelievably exciting play. He's an exciting player. He had a very good weekend in Cleveland, bunch of hits in the games over the weekend. He also had an incident, and I'm reading here from MLB.com. The weekend ended on a sour note when Durant was involved in an incident with a fan in the middle of the seventh inning. The fan initially yelled at Durant as he was running back to Boston's dugout after flying out. Durant intimated after the game the fan's comment was a reference to Durant's suicide attempt, which he opened up to in the Netflix special The Clubhouse. The Guardians have put out a statement on this over the weekend. We're aware of the situation that took place during today's game between a fan and one of the Red Sox players. It violated our code of conduct policy. We recognize the gravity of the behavior at issue here and take very seriously the conduct of this nature. We apologize, the player involved, and the fans, et cetera, right? So big statement here that the team put out. Obviously, the fan's a lowlife. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first to say it. He shouldn't have said that.
Okay,
that guy
shouldn't
have said that.
So, like, we all agree with that.
Yes.
Obviously, what the fan said is reprehensible and shouldn't be said and directed at Jaren Duran. To me, what's interesting about the story, and it's awful that Duran has to deal with it, how do you think Durant dealt with it? Should he be mixing it up with fans, yelling at fans? And, I mean, let's face it, this is probably not the only time you're going to hear something like that. Fans are drunk and awful, and you're going to hear things like this. Is he going to be able to, and it's probably very difficult, I haven't had to deal with it, but it's probably very difficult to restrain yourself and hold yourself back. Is he going to be able to do it? Do you even care that he does that? Are you okay with how he carried himself? Like, what do we think of that whole incident?
Yeah, it's tough because we like to think that, hey, we live in a proper society and people know what they can and can't say at the ball game or at the basketball game or at the hockey game or whatever. But unfortunately, every year we find out that that's not the case. And people have said horrible things to a lot of players over the years. And this is another one of those horrible things said to a player. And so on the one hand, like as a human, you're like, I get why Jaren Duran went over there. And I would love to see Jaren Duran get, you know, 5 minutes alone with that guy. That would have been great. However, you're also letting the world know that that's a button that you can press and you're going to get that reaction. I bet it's not going to be the last time he hears it.
Well, and he's yelled at fans for much less.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
a couple years ago, he was dealing with a lot, and he was yelling at them for, you know, like,
Kansas
hey,
City.
Catch the fly ball. Yeah, they used a stupid clip of me talking about it in the documentary.
Okay, and even in the Clubhouse documentary, we're two of the few that actually watched it, Keith.
Yeah, we didn't finish it.
But when they have that staged setup with him and
Turner?
Thank you, Justin Turner.
Yeah.
And they're in the clubhouse and they're talking. And he's like, Turner's like, how's it feel to have the cameras around, man? Like, not a stage question at all. And Duran's like, well, I kind of forgot in the opening series in Seattle. This is last year.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot in the opening series in Seattle. I was mic'd up and I was getting into it with a fan. So, like, he's gotten into it with fans pretty consistently. And, you know, what the fan said, no one's defending the fan. It's reprehensible what the fan said. He should be kicked out of the ballpark and not allowed back in. Obviously, that goes without saying. But is Duran going to be able to distance himself from mixing it up with the fans? Do you care? And should he have to? Because I think the more you're arguing with fans and getting into spats with fans, the more, and again, this is crossing a significant red line, but he's yelled at fans for less. He's got a track record of doing it. And at some point, doesn't invite more of it from fans. Not a comment this bad, but just fans chirping him and he gets into it.
Well, yeah, and I think because it's a story, I think it's going to, people are picking up on it. They hear what was said, and unfortunately there's going to be guys in the outfield, guys behind home plate, whatever it might be, like throughout the rest of this season, throughout the rest of his career, that if they're looking to get a response out of Jaren Duran, and that's the thing. How many times is it just these guys, they might even be filming it, they might even be whatever. And so, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he felt like that was the way to go about it. I know even the Guardians are supporting him and the team is supporting him and everything else, but you wonder, is this going to lead to more of those? Because maybe the thing you do there is you just sort of, you tell security or whatever, like, hey, there's a guy over here and this is what he said. And then if that guy gets thrown out of the game, well, and if people around him are like,
he had already been told. So what happened is he pointed out the fan coming off the field.
Yep.
He was told that security was going to intervene. He was in the clubhouse or in the dugout rather. And coming out, he was yelling at the fan again after the fact.
Yeah.
And so, you wonder if cooler heads can prevail there. But, text line says this, 617-779-7937. I loved it. Let the dude stand up for himself. Legit came up and got a hit in his next at bat. Who cares? He's a human being. So, I mean, look, maybe you feel that way.
Yeah.
But he's been suspended for incidents yelling at fans. Mm-hmm. He's gotten into it multiple times. This one is, to me, more of a gray area than some of them in the past because of the content of what was yelled at him.
Oh, yeah.
But again, he's mixed it up with fans for a hell of a lot less. And there was more of that over the weekend. A couple of texts here, Keith. We forgot about an inside the park home run.
Oh, as far as exciting baseball plays? Yeah,
inside
that's
the park
there.
Home run or stealing home? What's a more exciting
I'm still
play?
I'm still going steal home. Inside the park home run can have like a weird kick.
So it's
and
true.
Maybe, and not to bring
speaking,
this up.
Speaking of Jaren Duran.
Yeah, it's a low moment for Jaren Duran, but just him like walking after the ball, just a guy running around the bases is
like
a lot different.
Like a clean.
What about Little League home run?
No.
Because it was one of those that was a
four
Little League
errors?
Walk-off. I think it's pretty funny to watch people throw the ball around.
That's funny, but that's more like, is that an exciting? I guess it is exciting. The
triple play.
I think the Giants walked off on a Little League home
triple
run.
Triple play is just
yesterday.
So.
Let me introduce you to a triple play. No? That's just around the horn.
Unassisted triple play.
Unassisted triple play.
That's a good one.
All right, not bad.
But inside the park home run can be up there, but it's got to be like a clean one.
It's got to be
where
good.
You hit it down there and it's rattling around. It's not somebody misplayed it or lost it in the lights and it's like a freak play.
Can't find it.
It's one where it's all about the speed. But right. I mean,
Straight steal home's right up there at the top.
That's nice. Yeah. So an up and down weekend, if you will, for Jaren Duran. You can jump in on it. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots draft. How would you grade it? Just a few days after the draft concluded. We'll do that next.